suspicious introduction.
I'm afraid to say anything now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No one we've ever known thinks we're doing this correctly. This is all just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't associate
nothing to
with
see here, move
anybody.
Along.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're listening to the second hour of We the People Radio. This is not a show about nothing, although it kind of started out that way last hour. But you know what? There's a lot of high drama and a lot of tension in the world, and you know, we don't need to bring you more of it. That's just silly. We can talk about serious subjects without going mental.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Hey, Lyle.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I dozed off.
So our hostage this hour is is the indomitable Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who despite his bad introduction last hour, happens to be a private sector intelligence behavioral analysis. Well, that explains why he's hanging out with us, and threat assessment specialist. We're part of his experiment.
It's not going well.
He is
right
still
now.
Studying to see if there's any intelligence here.
Intelligence. Oh my goodness. Well, so on a more painful note. So we're talking about this playbook, this 49-page playbook that these guys put together. So okay, before we gloss over it, let's see the. Partner organizations for the playbook were Media Matters, everyone loves them, American Bridge 21st Century, totally never heard of them, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Doesn't that sound great? Except their acronym is CREW, and they're horrible, and some other outfit called Share Blue. I could definitely do commercials for those people. So what do you know? I mean, we all know about Media Matters and these idiots on CREW, but what's American Bridge 21st Century? Is it worth knowing or do we care?
No, I mean, it's part of the Agenda 21 crowd or the agenda for the 21st century where, again, you've got being discussed as if it was a normal process here. We don't need borders. We're all part of the human community. And so let's do away with our northern and southern border. Let's bring everybody together. And there's the North American Union, or NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association. And that's what Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush and they've all been involved in this thing for a number of years since Reagan. Reagan was really the last president we had, who, in my opinion, who promoted Americanism, the sovereignty of this nation, and the ideals by which this nation was founded. Since then, it's been a quick downhill slide into a one-world government, and this is where everybody starts tuning out again and putting on their tinfoil hats or saying, we have them on. But you know something, I've fought this battle for 10 years with numbers of legislators, not just in my home state of Arizona, but in other western states where I would give briefings on matters, be it from border to the influx of Islamic to other people coming in, and briefing these legislators and others, elected and law enforcement officials, saying you're not getting any help from Washington. I mean, you'll get promises and you'll get lots of people coming out and speaking, but you're not getting anything tangible. Because the goal is to collapse the United States. And once the United States collapses like a domino, you'll see a number of other Western countries, smaller, Australia would be one, for instance. New Zealand would be another. And my good friend, Trevor Loudon, who you should have on your show. If not, I'll see to it that...
He actually slept over at our house.
Did Trevor come over?
Yeah, he is a riot. He really is. He is a riot.
I won't let him in anymore. My wife and I won't let him in our house anymore. His wife's allowed, so we knew her before.
We didn't meet the wife. We let him in.
Oh, no, she's darling. She's wonderful. But Trevor...
he's a wild man.
No, I love Trevor. I'll make sure that Trevor knows that I said all this for anybody who's listening.
Not if I can get
Trevor,
to him first.
We just had a great time for a good couple of years when he was out on tour, because he and I spoke in a couple of places together. So we traveled together, and we just, I call him my little Kiwi friend, and that's what he refers to me. And he's from down under, New Zealand.
And he's like a whirling dervish. I mean, he's...
Oh, and you know something? He's very blunt, very candid, because he says if we lose America, yeah. I lose my nation, New Zealand, my country, because it's America that's keeping this push to a new world order from happening. And that's another reason when Trump came in, he was not part of the crowd, he was not part of the club, he was not part of the swamp, he was not part of the elites. And so he comes in and he throws into muck their entire game plan. The game plan was for Obama to do absolute destruction to this nation, and then for Hillary to finish it off. And I'm not, you know, there's just so much evidence. I won't even respond to people who go, well, I disagree. That's fine. One of my mentors taught me that it's difference of opinion that makes horse races, and I think Mark Twain was right when he said that, and I'm fine with that. But we're going to hear on this discussion is you're seeing actually a playbook that involves the media, involves policy debate, public debate, like we talked about in the last hour, and anything that can be done to neutralize Trump and his policies, anything that can be done.
Well, now, it's funny. Classic, though, because you look at, like, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, the Crew people.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that sounds terrific.
Right.
And then here's the mission of Crew. So Trump will here's their mission. Trump will be afflicted by a steady flow of damaging information, new revelations,
correct,
and an inability to avoid conflict. The Trump administration will be forced to defend illegal conduct in court. Powerful industries and interest groups will see their influence wane. And then dark money will be a political liability in key states. So this is very...
Yeah, there doesn't have to be illegal activity, but he's still going to have to defend the accusations, and that's what they're doing.
You're seeing that. You're right, Bill, and you're seeing that played out with the Mueller investigation now.
Yep.
It's all trumped up, no pun intended. It's totally illegal. It was appointed illegally. The whole thing is just an absolute three-ring circus. But look at the amount of attention, money, coverage it's gotten. And the root of it is it's all illegal. And that would be another show. And I'd be glad to do that and bring in another colleague who can address it, excuse me, even more critically than I can. But it's a total sham. But it's following a game plan that is to neuter Trump and his administration. And if you read that playbook, one of the things that your listeners will see as it starts to come out between the pages is that they're promoting even the slightest bit, the slightest bit of neutralization. Now just pause there for a second. They're promoting the slightest bit of neutralization to Trump is a good thing. Well, you don't have to take on the whole enchilada. Let's just keep chipping away at it.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing, for instance, in this one area that Aaron brought up, the investigation, well, let's go after Trump's kids. Let's go after Mike Flynn. Let's go after this guy. Let's go after that guy. Let's just keep chipping away. And what that will do is it will isolate Mr. Trump, and it will eventually, that's the game plan,
well,
is
and
to
then
neuter
you,
him.
You have kind of the, I don't know, the people who don't have any logic left, they had that removed. And so
right,
they, of course, are all, you have to impeach him because Manafort was convicted on 8 counts. And it's like, okay,
that's nothing
so,
to do with
so you obviously don't know what those 8 counts were. We've got to take a quick break, but that kind of stuff drives me nuts. But these guys get away with it because the other people are,
they're too stupid
to figure it out. And these are grown-ups.
Well, we've dumbed down two generations. They don't know our Constitution. They don't know.
Yep. But these
the
are people who just
they don't, know that
don't have any
Manafort,
logic.
If Mr. Manafort did something, that was 8-10 years ago prior to Trump even being president.
I know.
How do you impeach him for, you know?
Yeah,
that's the part that's just crazy.
And the scary part is this can be applied to anybody in office. I mean, this is not about Trump.
Well, this is obviously
a big selling feature for running
for president, you know. Hey, doesn't it seem like a terrific goal?
But Bill, with all due respect, and I mean this sincerely, I'm going to disagree with you. What it means is it can be used or utilized against any one of us.
Yes.
Well, that's what I mean. That's exactly right. So that,
well, not
that's...
just people in office. No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can
just regular citizens.
You. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so
All right, let's take a break, and then let's get right back on this, because we're going to run out of time. We got so much to cover.
Yeah. People are like, yeah, because you goofed around.
Yeah, because you won't show up.
It's just like when we were kids. Yeah. You goofed around, didn't you?
I didn't goof around. No, I on my show.
You were lured in. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of a stranger, but we love to try them on.
But you know what? Exactly what we were talking about before the break, that they could come for all of us. And guess who's going to do the dirty work? I think we just played their song.
Yep.
Because we...
No, that's such a great point, is if they can get away with what they're doing to anybody in politics, they can do it to anybody else.
Okay, so Lyle, when they put this little playbook deal together, this was just for them. Obviously, this wasn't supposed to go to everybody else.
But this was published a year ago, or no, it was published back in
they had it at their little conference in January of 2017.
Correct.
And
that's correct, Aaron.
So, just in fanning through it, I mean, how much of it have they been able to actually stay on track with? Because it looks to me like a lot of it.
Yeah, quite a bit. Again, your listeners, I'm encouraging them. I know you are too. As they go through this, I think they'll be able to see very clearly just how much has already been implemented. And there's the playbook. Now go back a year, almost a year to the day. If the conservative side, if those that were standing up for American ideals, principles, values, if they had copies of this and they were able to confront it, I wonder where we would be today. It's a question we're not going to answer because we can't, but that's what I tried to do. I tried to get it into decision makers' hands and saying, y'all might want to take a look at this. Now, just before the show, no pun intended, just before the show, I took the same thing that I sent y'all, and I sent it back out to several key individuals, and I said, you'll notice this is a year old, but I pray that you will now look at this with a new set of eyes and realize just how much has been already accomplished. You know, part of my frustration, and now I'm using you as a venting, is that I can work hard, and colleagues of mine can work hard. A Jerome Corsi, for instance, comes up with some phenomenal stuff, and you get it out there, but people they don't get it, they don't read it, they don't look at it, or they are overwhelmed, like it says in this playbook, and they're playing off of that. They're playing off the fact that Americans are overwhelmed. They're playing off the fact that Americans are inundated with information everywhere we go, from our cell phones to everything else. And it's information overload. So if somebody is standing on the corner and they're passionately shouting about something, guess what? We're more likely to sit and listen to that individual than somebody on the other corner talking about it in a suit, nice, polite, proper, and all of that. It's just human nature when you talk about studying behavioral analysis and looking at the psychological aspects of how to reach people. That's kind of what I do also. And so people by nature are more prone to someone who's passionate, emotional.
Well,
and that's what they're promoting here. And they're also promoting very clearly that Trump will be defeated either through impeachment or at the ballot in 2020. I'm reading, I don't know what page, but I'm reading it. Okay. When you all go through it, you'll see it. It's right there.
Bold. It's right there at the beginning. And you know, the other thing, too, just a given in human nature is that what we see with conservatives when they're, and I think that's why Trump's rallies are drawing so many people and why they're actually important, because conservative people don't like an endless just barrage of nonsense. I mean, they just get frustrated and disengaged. You know, it's like, if you guys are just going to be nonsense, I'm out. And that's what we risk in the midterm.
Further. Yeah, I'm going to go a step further, Aaron, because I've advised several candidates in several states on critical matters, and after months, you earn their trust. And you'll get a phone call, or they'll talk to you personally, and they'll say, "Hey, how do I get my message across?" And when they ask, because that's not my area with them, they have campaign managers, and that's not what I do. But they're asking me how, we've read your stuff; it's consistent for all these months, maybe a year. Now I'd like to ask you something, maybe off of your area, but I value what you have to say, and that's quite a compliment. I say to them, take a look at Mr. Trump. He's not concerned about whether he wins or not. Now, I know that sounds funny, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's concerned about doing the right thing for the right reasons and let it be settled out there amongst the people. Second, he's not afraid to confront the lies and the deceptions. Third, he has fun doing it, and he's not worried about it if it's following the same old pattern. That's one of the things that's thrown all these people off, is that Mr. Trump doesn't follow any of the patterns, any of the traditional ways.
He's not presidential.
For anybody.
That's what drives him all crazy.
For anything. I mean, just when you think you kind of have him figured out a little bit, And so what I've told these candidates is you can't fake it, because I don't think Mr. Trump is, but if you're more concerned about getting elected than saying the right thing, then I really don't want to be involved with you, because once you get elected, it will be all downhill after that, and your whole focus will be re-election, bigger office, corner office, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping I'm hoping that his way of leading is going to kind of start a trend, where people will be more honest and say what needs to be said. I think that's the part that I think drives everybody crazy.
And Bill, I think you're right. I think it's starting to seep in a little bit. Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, Huckabee, he's pretty candid, and he's there. He's not worried about running for office. He's not worried about his next gig, and he's pretty straightforward.
And his daughter is a rock star.
Oh, Sarah! She is
a total rock star.
Yeah, and I don't think
the old block.
Yeah,
she just fends them off like
think
a
about
pro.
It. But you know what? I said to a candidate, I got to be a little vague, but I said to a candidate, it was about 3 weeks ago, two and a half, three weeks ago. She asked me. We talked, and she went on and on and on. And I said, "Let me just stop you right there. Let me ask you." What are you going to do? Who will you be the morning on November 8th after the election if you lose? And she looked at me, because she's been asking me for counsel on border and some other Islamic and other intelligence matters for about 3 months. One of her senior people said, this is the guy we want because he's candid. He's not looking for an office. He's not going to accept a position if you offer it to him. He'll tell you the straight skinny and then walk away. I mean, if you accept it, fine. If you don't, hit delete. In fact, he'll tell you that. So after maybe it was 4 months, she gets a hold of me, and we happen to meet. We set it up. and she's stewing a little bit about, you know, not getting her message out and what's going to happen. And I asked her that, and she looked at me deadpanned, and she said, "I don't know." And then I said, "Well, then you shouldn't be elected." And she looked at me, and her senior advisor that has known me, he started to smirk because he goes, "Oh, no.
Walked into the post office.
This is like putting a red ball in front of him." And he's, you know, just, but the other, her campaign person, was aghast. I said, "Look, if the totality of who you are, your identity, is being in office, then you shouldn't be in office. Because that means you will do everything you have to do to remain in office, because that's your identity. Do you look at Mr. Trump? That's not his identity. And you don't need to be a multi-billionaire, but that's not his identity. He came into office because, I will tell you, 4 years previously, he was asked to run. And I will tell you something else, and this is the truth. 4 years before that, he was asked to run. I'm going to tell you. And he said no. But 4 years ago, he's been in office a year and a half now, so go back 5.5 years. You know, he was asked to run, and he considered it. And the reason for that is because of the state of our nation and where we were going. We were on a quick decline under Obama, and there was no alternatives. And so he did actively consider it, and I'm glad he didn't do it at that time. Because
it just would have been a big mess.
That's correct.
At that time, I think we had to get the Obama thing over with.
That's correct. But I think you're so right, Aaron. And we had to bottom out in a way. And then so he runs now. He doesn't need this. What he's doing is what he said he would do: make America great. Let's restore the greatness of this nation, which then will fill out throughout the world, and other nations will benefit from it, just like they always have from America. America has been greatly, richly blessed by God. And yet part of our responsibility is to take care of other nations. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. You go back in our time and look, and the great thinkers of our time said that. We were absolutely blessed, and part of our blessing was to make sure that others were blessed, and we were to do everything we could. Now, that's been deviated from for purposes, selfish purposes, financial purposes, but that blessing is still there. Mr. Trump's come in, and he's followed the Reagan model. You can check it out for yourself.
And it's interesting, because even people who don't like the way he does things actually appreciate the results, and they do appreciate the candor. We have to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Verpacki, now that we've stopped goofing off and we've gotten down to the meat of the matter. We're into the last half hour, so hang with us. We'll be right back. You can find this playbook and all the information about our guest at wethepeopleradio.us.
Talk to me about the polar bear. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days, even the air. They're running out of rhinos, what do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing in my deep freeze. It's casual entertainment. We ain't too.
These are Lyle's parties. That's what's going on at Lyle's Deep Freeze. It's got polar bears, penguins.
How did you know all that? Was that you last night at midnight popping through my...
I was planting evidence.
I heard the noise, and I said, nah.
You said to yourself, self, it sounds like my deep freeze. It reminds me of a song. But honestly, that kind of stuff, I wasn't really thinking about it last night. I guess I was just thinking it's a funny song and I like it. But it really does make people... That's the kind of stuff they're doing to us. They fob that. I mean, we fob that off as humor, and because it's supposed to be humorous, and that's what they use as fact. And everybody sits there with a very serious face, you know. The polar bears are in danger. It's like they haven't been in danger for so long. I don't remember when they stopped being in danger, but it was a long time ago.
Do you remember the person who reported on that or took the pictures of that emaciated polar bear?
Yeah, stuck out on an ice.
That whole
thing? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And he finally came out and said, no, that whole thing was made up. The polar bear actually was dying. It was old and was not able to feed itself. And that's what. But they made it into the environmental stuff. Yep.
Yeah, that was the last polar bear on Earth right there.
And these are all the same people that are running the disinformation campaign against the president. This is all the same stuff. This is Earth First. We don't have any trees left anymore. God knows we burned up, you know, I don't know, probably collectively at least 1 million acres in California. I think at the bare minimum this year. And we've got fires rolling all the way to Canada. Last week I drove to Seattle. I had smoke from Northern California all the way to Seattle. So obviously we're not running out of trees. So all these things, you know, that these people push out as fact, and they expect people to just believe them.
Well, because nobody does
people
their
don't
own
check.
People don't do their own homework
and
anymore. It's easier just
problem.
To go to the TV, see what they're saying, and then comment on that because that must be the truth.
Hey, Lyle, I read through the playbook again the other day when you'd sent it, and I thought, is there anywhere in this where they talk about having like a big bingo, thing with little balls inside that all have problems, and then every day they just let one of the balls drop, and today we're going to ramp up on the. They didn't have it in here, but I swear to God, that's what they're doing. They have a little bingo thing, and it's like today we're going to have a fit about this. You know, everybody get excited. It's just exhausting.
Well, okay, I'm fighting right now, Bill, to stay in the more professional vein. It wouldn't take
thank you, thank you, because I'm remaining silent as well.
Come on, grab the bingo ball.
There's so much to say.
Oh my gosh, I'm working on this.
stay focused.
And the people that are wherever, whatever the new countries that are listening to your show that probably will never listen again after today.
No, I love them, and they obviously enjoy fun. I hope they're learning.
No. Wait,
I hope they're learning
the
English
record.
By listening to this, so they can get a fun version of English.
Okay, just for the record, Bill, I do not want this edited out. I'm not making fun of them. I'm going...
Just FYI, we don't edit.
Yeah, this
is... We don't know how.
Yeah, this could come back to haunt you someday, but, you know, we're being honest.
Well, I'm going to tell you that one show that we did with Claire, when she all of a sudden remembered she was gone. And I think Aaron was asking a question and Claire's texting me going, hey, have a great rest of the show. I'm gone. And I'm, what? And I'm listening to Aaron in my headpiece and she's asking Claire a question and I'm getting a text from Claire going, I'm not here. I mean, gone. And well, I haven't let her live that one down.
No, nor should we.
We were on a radio show.
We should mock her endlessly.
A couple of weeks ago, and out of nowhere, I brought it. I said, you know, now make sure you ask this question before the commercial because Claire has a history of leaving.
She's damn them at We the People.
The host, you guys. He said, what? And I told, I could hear Claire.
She's like,
and so what happened then is Claire hasn't let me live that down.
We've tainted you and brought you into our web. You know, this is like conservative politics. You throw out a little fun and they will come.
Well, in answer to your question,
the left, you throw out some anger and they're all over it.
When your listeners go back and read through this, you're going to see where they talk about serial misinformers.
Yes.
And
that comes up a lot.
Okay, what I found interesting is that they're talking about propagandists on the right. In other words, conservative, maybe social media, propagandists who are pushing a conservative propaganda line, okay? Well, as you start to go through this whole thing, the playbook, and as you begin to take a look in vivo, that's a big word, Bill, I'll explain it to you.
Thank you.
in reality, in life here, you're seeing that they're projecting themselves into their narratives. They're saying conservatives have a tendency to be misinformers. The conservatives have a tendency to be right-wing propagandists. Well, when you begin to really study their philosophy, and after the show, guys, I'm going to send you something else. It's a 23-page playbook also, and by all means, if you find it of any value, please distribute as you feel.
Yeah, we'll post it. But Lyle, we learned this in first grade on the playground. We already learned it. I'm like rubber.
Yep.
You're glue. Bounces off me, sticks to you.
Yes. Remember? Yeah, and so what we have, and to your point, we have the left, the social democrats, the socialist democrats, the Marxists, pushing out misinformation through every channel, through every
yep.
media, through every platform, through every organization that they're getting together to come against Trump and against all the things that this country has stood for. And when you have that amount of vast platforms, be it what was used to be recognized reliable media, on top of that, you've got all these organizations, hundreds of them, that are all pushing out the same narrative. Well, it has a tendency to fit the serial misinformer notification.
Well,
only on the left.
Well, look at look at their whole thing, you know, that Trump was a bad guy who was colluding and all that. I mean, I'm rubber, and you know, I'm like rubber, you're like glue. I mean, these guys, you know, Trump was colluding with the Russians. Oh, I'm sorry, who was colluding with the Russians? The Democratic National Committee and a lot of their candidates and all their little henchmen in the FBI and everywhere. It's just been bizarre. Like, And there are still people on the left who will call their congressman's office, just as an example, and demand that the Russia investigation be protected because it's turning up so much information. It's like, really? I mean, I don't even know how you make that case. But if you listen to progressive radio, which I force myself to do when I'm driving, and I listen to them, 127 Progress. It used to be 127 Left. It was, I don't know, it was just funnier for me, but anyway, they've changed it. 127 Progress. And I would really challenge conservatives out there who are frustrated by this to stop listening to your own media, people that you agree with, whatever that
Absolutely.
Is. Stop listening Absolutely. To your own stuff and listen to the other stuff. Because all
Absolutely.
Of a sudden, it starts to make sense out of what these guys are doing and what they're saying. Because you already know. Like for me, I already know what I think. I don't need to listen to people who think like me. I'm going to listen to the other guys and what they're telling people. And what they're telling them is, this is all real. It's critical. You got to be engaged. We got to flip these people because look at the bad stuff they've done. And look what they did last year. And how it's like, it's all stuff they did. They don't ever provide any facts. And for some reason, that doesn't really get noticed. I'm sorry,
well,
my little rant. We got to take another quick break because we were tardy. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
I know. No. Yes, yes, yes. Swift break, and we'll be right back.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What you just said is so right on because it's all emotional.
It is all emotional. And when you listen to it, it's all kind of hysterical. And then you realize, this is what these guys are being told all the time. This is why they think like this. I don't know. It's just important to know what's happening on the other side. Otherwise, things like this playbook, you go, who would do this? Yeah, well, I can give you some ideas. So, best song ever. We'll be right back.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America sticks in the fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all.
This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure moved, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
It's the theme song of right-wing victory. Ta-da! Lyle? Did you,
yes, ma'am.
Are you hiding with Claire? Lyle, did making fun of Claire cause your connection to be dropped?
Yeah, all of a sudden I can't hear anything.
It was so quiet. I'm like, what?
I was enjoying the song.
I know, because it's a great song. I figured by this point we'd be on the upswing. But, you know, before we, you know, obviously we have 10 minutes left, but before we run out of time, I hope people really understand that this midterm, and midterms have a traditionally low turnout, and the party that is in the White House
usually loses.
Usually the one that loses, because they have a traditionally low turnout. So anybody who thinks, oh, common sense has been restored to the world and everything is good and we're all fine and don't worry about it, please
vote.
Please go tell your friends.
You know, when Mr. Trump said this past week, this is probably the most critical election in the history of this nation, he wasn't blowing smoke or being sensational. When you look at the details of this election, there are 23 Democrat U.S. senators up for re-election. 23. There are 8 Republican senators up for re-election. Do the math, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to see the Senate switch
we could smoke these guys.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
Well, and then I think 25 governorships out of 35, 38 governorships are up for re-election. I mean, this is huge, and I forget the numbers right now for the Congress. This is a huge election coming up here in about, what, 90 days, 70 days, something like that. And if you think that the socialist Democrats have the game plan for you and that's what you want, then you know something? You're going to go for it. You're going to vote for them. And within months after they take over in January, you'll see an entire agenda that is Marxism being introduced. I am not making this
no,
up.
No, you're going to watch taxes roll right straight up.
Oh,
all the laws for, you know, the good part is at least he's still in there for 2 more years. We can block the legislative stuff, but not at a local level. I mean, look at what Jerry Brown has done to California.
I don't know if you could or not, Aaron, because, I mean, he can veto something, but if they have the votes in the Congress and or the Senate, they can override the veto.
Yep.
Yeah, if they have that many. God forbid.
This ought to
frighten people, because this is right here in their little Democratic playbook here. We're under the American Bridge Plan. Here's one part, vetting nominees. Now, think about all the loony people that are running, not the least of which is the bug-eyed girl in New York. And she actually won in 2 districts. I don't know if people know that or not. She won in the whatever district she was, 14 or 17. Anyway, she wins with the actual, that's the one she ran in. She actually was a top vote getter on the Democratic side in another district as a write-in candidate, which should scare everyone to death.
That tells you where the mentality is leaning.
So here we go. Vetting nominees. American Bridge has already set up a world-class vetting operation, the largest in the Democratic Party, to investigate the records of potential Trump nominees. Now, these guys are spending all their time looking at all of the right-wing guys, and yet they've got world-class vetting, but they don't vet their own guys.
Mm-hmm. No, they do. They're just vetting them to be socialists.
Yeah, I guess as long as you're a socialist,
we're going to back you.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Everything's about blocking, and we'll see what happens with the Supreme Court nominee.
But that is part of the plan, and like you were saying, that plan was written over a year ago, And that's exactly what's happening now.
It was written almost 2 years ago. This came, well, it was written 2 years ago because it came out to them in their little circle in January
of 2017. Well, they're sticking to the plan. They're sticking to the plan is what I'm saying. And you know, I don't think people realize that this isn't all happening by accident. This is a written plan that they're following.
I just got an email during the break from a candidate in the East. That's as close as I can to describe who and when and why and all that. Dr. Lyle, thank you so much for this. I did not know it was released a year ago by you. I wish I had. This person's running for an office and said, I began to read it, and I'm only on page 25, and I had to put it down and write this quick note to you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then the next paragraph is, thank you so much. If I had seen this a year ago, how much more my campaign would have addressed some of these issues in this playbook. Please be assured in the next 70 days, I will be stepping up and turning my attention to how to thwart my opponent according to his own game plan. Godspeed, and you always have a place at my table, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
Thank you. So what was not, yeah, and I'll tell you 70 days from now who it was or something. But,
well, people think that, you know, truth, justice, and the American way is going to get them over the bar, and it's like,
It's not anymore.
You don't have to lie or cheat, but, and if you're just a, if you're just a taxpayer out there, you know, you're just somebody out there looking at all this, you've never really had any, you've never run for office, you've never worked for an elected official, you never worked on a campaign, and you think probably everybody's corrupt. Honestly, go work for a local candidate. Help them make phone calls. Get involved, and you'll find out if they're good guys or bad guys. You'll know everything. Right. By offering to help, it's a great way to do something other than be irritated. You know, God knows there's plenty to be irritated about right now.
Okay, so now what do you want to talk about?
I was doing what I do to Bill, which is when I just look at him and he's like,
"What?" No, we got 3 minutes, Lyle. You wrap it up.
We have 3 minutes.
Swing for the fences.
Awesome. Thank you so much, always. I don't know how many times I've been on the show, and this will probably be the last time, but anyway.
I can tell you how many, because I list, by the way, just for those people who are curious, I have those listed, 1, 2, 3, 6,
really?
Back into October of 2016, and some of those are just with you, and some are with, well, we're supposed to be with Clara, but she's not on, and different people. But we've done a lot of different topics, and we always have a really good time.
Well, we do. And I remember one time, a little bit before that, wasn't it, Aaron? We had Senator Crandall on. Boy, that was a heavy topic. We got lots of emails on that one because I took it out of your – you send it to me usually afterwards, and then I post it or send it out. And that really picked up a lot of attention. I want to thank you both for that. And thanks for today. I know the first hour, the people in Uganda and the Netherlands and wherever else, I don't know, New Jersey.
They'll be like, what were they doing?
Yeah, they're like, what is this show? Get it off the air.
You know, though, there's a lot of – you know, it seems like everybody is angry about everything. And
True.
I don't think anybody learns anything when they're mad. I don't think they make good decisions when they're angry. I just don't think there's any real value there. And getting mad doesn't actually advance the cause. So I've had people ask me, you know, well, you don't seem very upset about this. You know, why doesn't this make you angry? I'm like, well, I mean, there's going to be more stupidity tomorrow. So if today is the day that I lose my mind, I mean, I'm no good tomorrow. And I think at some point we have to all kind of figure that out. You know, this isn't the hill we want to die on. They have worse plans for us in the future. And we don't make an effective opposition.
You know,
resistance is all hogged up. So.
If it's okay with you guys, and you don't even have to answer me on the air.
Oh, we'd love to answer on the air.
Well, if we could pick up on the same topic, but I bring far more to it. I'll bring an associate on who works for me as an I have to be careful here, research associate, how's that?
Sure.
And he's in Washington, back and forth with me all the time. I think if I brought Tony on and we discuss the same topic, if you will, but with a lot more meat on the bone, I think there wouldn't be as much frivolity, because I think some of the stories that I think...
So we purged the frivolity this week and we can go on to serious stuff?
Validated, I think would be very sobering, and I think people would realize how important this election is.
Right. Okay, how about next week or the week after and we'll get it figured out?
Yeah.
And that way you can't tell people I called you the hour before, you know?
Well, it all totally depends if somebody else is available.
We got to blow. We're into the disclaimer. We love you. We'll talk to you in the next week or so. Happy Labor Day.
Thanks,
Lyle.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.